Hello and welcome to a new episode with Manu from Japanese with Manu. And today we're gonna learn about Tanabata. That's one of the more famous festivals in Japan. First, let's take a look at the kanji and then I will tell you a little more about the vocabulary and the background story. So, Tanabata has two kanji. The first one is the kanji for seven and the second one for evening. If you take a look at the kanji for seven, it does look like the seven, but just like upside down. And yeah. So the thing is, with pronunciation, if you know about kanji, then you might know that there are several ways of pronouncing kanji. And usually if you have a word consisting out of two or several kanji, then you use the so-called Chinese pronunciation. But in this case, Tanabata is really like a specific way of pronouncing that. It's just like the name, and afterwards basically got connected to these kanji. Now the question is, why do we have the kanji for seven and evening? Well, usually it's celebrated in Japan on the 7th of July, so it's the 7th evening. Seven and evening, that's why we have the kanji there. All right, so the question is now, what are the words do you know with the kanji for seven and for evening? So usually the kanji for seven is pronounced shichi, shi and chi. And the first e, the e from shichi, is really not really like pronounced because there is the chi, and the chi is a hard syllable. Hard syllables are basically all the syllables of the K, S, T and H row, which do not have the ten ten. So like ka ki ku ke ko, sa shi su se so, ta chi tsu te to, ha hi hu he ho, and papi pupe po, because that's the one with the circle. All right. And so it's not shi chi, you omit basically the e, shi. So that's how you usually pronounce it. But that's the Chinese pronunciation. The Japanese one is nana, nana. And the thing is, you have to memorize when you use shi and when nana. So I brought along some words for you to memorize. So the 7th month, July, which we actually have right now, is pronounced shichigatsu. Shichigatsu, not nanagatsu. Shichigatsu. So please remember, if you talk about July, the 7th month, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Shichigatsu. And the 7th day is called nanoka. So it's not nana and not shichi, it's nano and ka. So the kanji for seven has the pronunciation shichi, nana, and nano. And the second kanji, that's the kanji for day, in this case is pronounced ka. And for the month, that's called gatsu. So every single month is basically a combination of from 1 to 12 plus gatsu. 1 gatsu, 2 gatsu, 3 gatsu, 4 gatsu, 5 gatsu, 6 gatsu, 7 gatsu, 8 gatsu, 9 gatsu, 10 gatsu, 11 gatsu, 12 gatsu. Alright, then I have brought along the word 7時. 7時, that's 7 o'clock. Ji means time or hour, and here it's called 7時. Again, a little difficult to pronounce, try it. 시 and 지. Shichi, and then plus the G afterwards. Shichiji. Yeah, it's something that you have to like make your mouth, like the muscles of your mouth, like the muscles of your mouth needs to get used to this kind of movement. It's something that you don't really pronounce in English, right? These kind of like letters. Shichiji. Shichiji. So the first thing, shichi. G. So the G is soft, the chi is hard. Shi, ji, shichi ji. And then I brought one more word. Seven people. So the kanji for seven and the kanji for person. So this thing is, you have two different ways of pronouncing. You can say nananin and shichinin. So that's something that you can decide by yourself which one you prefer more. I think I would say nananin. But there is like a movie which is called Shinin, like the Seven Samurai. So like there, it's called Shinin. And then some more words for the kanji for evening. I brought along the word Yugata. Yugata. So the thing is, like, in Japanese, you have several ways of saying, like, evening and night. And yugata is basically the time when the sun sets. Yuhi. So hi doesn't mean necessarily the day, but also like the sun. So yuhi is basically the sun, the setting sun itself. And yuyake. Yake comes from yakeru, to fry or like to bake or grill something. So yuyake is basically the sun going down, you know, the vanishing sun when the sky gets red. That's yuyake, the burning evening. Yuhan is dinner, so like the meal that you eat in the evening. Some people say supper, I learned dinner anyway. So yuhan, the han basically means cooked rice. So like raw rice is kome, but han is the Chinese pronunciation, basically. Yuhan, the dinner or supper. Yushoku is another word for that. Sounds a little more polite. Yuhan, yushoku. So the han is, yeah, you know, you might know the word gohan, you know, as I said just before, like the cooked rice. Shoku is the Chinese pronunciation of taberu, wa tabemasu, to eat. And then we have yoru. By the way, we have ban. So ban is another word for evening. Ban, I would say, is basically the part of the night where it's still like not dark yet. So like it starts basically when the sun is setting until it gets completely dark. That's ban. Then we have the word yoru. Yoru is basically the dark part of the night, or the dark part of the evening until the night is over. That's yoru. And instead of yuhan or yushoku, you could also say bangohan, depending which word you prefer. You can hear all of them: yuhan, yushoku, bangohan. So with this han, as I said, like cooked rice, because the thing is, every traditional Japanese meal includes cooked rice. So basically, to know every single word for like breakfast, lunch, and dinner or supper, you just use the han with the time of the day. So asa is morning. Asagohan is the breakfast. Hiru means noon. Hirugohan is lunch. And bangohan we just had, the rice or the meal for the evening. So asagohan, hirugohan, bangohan are like colloquial words. You're gonna use them for friends and, you know, when you talk just normally. But if you want to sound more polite, then you use the shoku version. And so asagohan, hirugohan, bangohan basically are asa, hiru, yoru, or like asa, hiru is basically the Japanese pronunciation of these words. And basically the Chinese pronunciation, or the version with the Chinese pronunciation, is usually the more polite one or the more formal one. So for, instead of asagohan, you say chōshoku. So chō is the Chinese pronunciation of asa. And shoku is the Chinese pronunciation of taberu, tabemasu, to eat. So for example, if you're in a hotel and you want to know when like the breakfast time is, then you, no matter if you ask asagohan wa nanji kara desu ka, or nanji mara desu ka, so from when to when is the breakfast, usually the people, you know, like the employees of the hotel will say chōshoku instead of asagohan, because asagohan would not be polite enough. Yes, and the same thing for the lunch, that's chūshoku. So chū is the Chinese pronunciation of hiru, noon. And if you are not really a polite person, then you might use the next three words: asameshi, hirumeshi, banmeshi. Yeah, that's a word that I would say guys would use. So like my husband usually say meshi. Meshi wa doko da? It's like Luffy, you know, like sitting at the table like, where is my food? I'm hungry. Meshi, meshi. Right? Yeah, so that's meshi is actually the Japanese pronunciation of the han. Yeah. You see, take a look at the kanji. Meshi and han are the same part, or look the same. All right, so that's that. And now finally to the story. After talking your ear off for 10 minutes about vocabulary, now let's talk about the story. So the story is basically about two people, or two stars, or two gods. One god is called, or one star is called Hikoboshi. Hikoboshi. So the first kanji, hiko, means the child of the sun. And hikoboshi, And the second one is the star. So Higoboshi is the person who is responsible for the for cattle. So for cows and, you know, and he has to take care that they are well fed and they are groomed and everything. And he meets Orihime. So Orihime is weaving. She's making clothing for the people. So she's responsible for the clothing and that there is enough clothing and everything, right? So as I said, so Hikoboshi. The boshi comes from hoshi, which means star. And hoshi is the Japanese pronunciation, and se would be the Chinese pronunciation. For example, the word wakusei, that's planet. So waku means like to go in like back and forth and, you know, like don't really be straight about something. And then we have the word mewaku, which is a really important word for Japanese people. Mewaku means like a bother. So you're bothering people. Mewaku suru. And like the most important thing for people is not to be mewaku, not to cause mewaku. Yeah, you don't want to bother other people with your problems. You don't want to bother people because you don't know something. So, you know, everybody tries to not be a bother, to do everything what they can do to, you know, be nice to people and to don't give any more burden to another person. Which can be pretty, a strain, I would say, you know. All right, so that's that. And Orihime. So Ori comes from orimasu or oru, to weave. And orimono is basically fabric, you know, something that has been woven. So you have the result, orimono. Mono means thing. Like it's kimono, the thing you wear. And the machine, the loom, is called hataori. The first kanji is the ki from kikai. A machine, basically. Yeah, hataori, like the machine for weaving, loom. And so the story behind them is, you know, they were doing their job every day and really, you know, took care of things and really tried to be, you know, a good god and do their deeds. But when they met, they fell in love. And that's called in Japanese, koi ni ochiru. Koi. Koi means love, and ochiru, to fall in love. Basically the same thing as in English. So the thing is, with love, there are two kinds of words, koi and ai. Ai is the feeling of love that you can have for anybody, like for friends, for family. But koi is like this special feeling, to fall in love feeling. So that's that. And they meet, every day and forget about their things, about their tasks they have to do. So what happens is, the cows don't have anything to eat anymore, and they start to die and get sick. And Orihime doesn't do her work anymore. There is no more clothing, and the people don't have any clothing anymore. You know, the clothing is like, you know, has holes, you know, and it's, you know, so they're causing a lot of trouble, and, you know, that's a bad thing. So the upper gods become angry, and they punish them. And the punishment is they are not allowed anymore to see each other, because when they see each other, they don't do their jobs. So the result is they're not able to meet each other anymore, except once a year at Tanabata, at Amanogawa, the Milky Way. Ama is the Japanese pronunciation of ten, heaven, and Gawa comes from Kawa, the river, the Milky Way, the heaven's river. Yeah, so that's the thing. And basically, as I said, they are stars. So Hikoboshi is Altair, and Orihime is Vega. So yeah, and basically, there is really a story like behind that, like an astrological things. Like on this day, Altair and Vega are, you know, in the constellation that they're really the nearest when you look at the Milky Way, so they can really cross the Milky Way. And the thing is, like, so there the birds come and like build a bridge so for them to meet up, so they can cross the bridge over Amanogawa. And if it's raining, well, they cannot meet each other because the birds cannot build a bridge when it rains. So whenever there is Tanabata and it's raining, and it's really a sad thing because they cannot meet up for the whole year again, have to wait another year for getting their chance to meet. So that's basically the story, and the story originally came from China. And there are lots of like these kind of like festivals and seasonal things that came from China, but are just a little to Japan. So what people do nowadays in Japan they get like small pieces of paper and write their wishes on these papers. And these small pieces of paper are called in Japanese, tanzaku. Tanzaku. So tan is the Chinese pronunciation of michikai, short. And the zaku comes from saku. And there is also like the pronunciation satsu, which is the counter word for books. If you take a look at it, you know, it looks like there is like pieces of paper and there's like a needle through it to like to keep it in place. So like a bound, and like it's you know, several pieces of paper, and that's basically what a book is, right? Yeah. But anyway, tanzaku is not like a whole book, but it's just a small piece of paper where people write their wishes on, and then they put it on bamboo stalks. And these bamboo stalks are basically, you know, decorated together. Some people put them in front of their house, or some people put it in a vase and they decorate the house with that. And I've been to a shopping center yesterday and the day before yesterday too, I think next to a restaurant, I don't remember exactly anymore. And like they had like, you know, these bamboo stalks and you know, twigs and leaves, everything. And you could just write your wish there and, you know, decorate and the piece of paper with the, you know, decorated. Yeah, just put it on the bamboo leaf, bamboo stalk, twig. All right. So the reason for that basically is like long, long time ago, paper was really like expensive. So it was, you know, like only the rich people, the aristocrats could do that. And they basically sent the wishes to the gods, you know, with the expensive paper. And what they did basically, they put this piece of paper into the river for the gods to reach it, you know? So that's what happened there. And the question is also like, why do they use bamboo? Especially the bamboo leaves have like antibacterial effect. And especially in summer, you know, like super hot in Japan and also humid, so like things can like spoil easily. And with this antibacterial effect, or, you know, like, it's easier to like have food not spoiled. Yes, there is some more interesting story. Let's first go through all the vocabulary. So we have the sasa. If you take a close look here at the upper part, that's basically take, which is the bamboo. And then we have onegai, that's the wish. So what you usually like, so to write a wish on this piece of paper is called tanzaku ni onegai wo kakimasu. So tanzaku is a small piece of paper. The ni basically is the particle for direction. Where do you write it on? On the piece of paper. Onegai, so that's the wish. Wo is like the particle for the object. What do you write? A wish. And to write is kakimasu. Onto the piece of paper, a wish to write. And then the next sentence is soshite tanzaku wo sasa ni kazarimasu. Soshite means and then. Tanzaku o, so o means it's the object. So kazarimasu means to decorate. So what do you decorate? The tanzaku, the bamboo stalks. And tanzaku o kazarimasu, you decorate basically the, you know, use the so kasarimasu like means to put something somewhere for decoration purposes. So you put something somewhere, the decoration purpose is the tanzaku, the small pieces of paper. But where do you put them to? Again, the ni, you know, the direction to where you put it, on the sasa, on the bamboo stalks. Yes, and yeah, that's the story I already told you, but let's just repeat it in Japanese. 昔, 紙は高かったです。Mukashi, in olden times, long time ago. Kami, paper. Takakatta, it was expensive. It comes from takai, the adjective. And the past tense is takakatta. Takai, you use the e and replace it with katta to get the past tense. The des at the end just makes it more polite. So, a long time ago, paper was expensive. Kōkyūhin, an expensive item. Kō means high, takai. Q means level, so high level, exquisite, expensive. Hin item. It's an expensive item. 規則だけは買うことができました。規則 are the aristocrats. だけ only は article. So only the, about the only about the you know the people who were rich basically. 買うことができました。できました means was able to do something comes from できます。The thing that you can do is marked with が。The thing is, the thing you can do needs to be a noun. And 買う means to buy, so it's a verb. In order to make a noun out of 買う, out of a verb, you need the base form. So not 買います, but 買う. And then you add こと to nominalize it, to make a noun of it. 買うこと is the buying process, basically. The buying. So I was able, or people were able to buy only...You know, aristocrats. The blue-blooded people. And then, 短冊を川へ流していました。So, 流していました comes from 流します to let something flow, like on the water. 流して is the te form. Plus, te form plus います means something is being done.All right, so we got some more sentences, not one more actually.
短冊を川へ流していました。
That's what we've been talking about, right? So they let the pieces of paper flow on the river, onto the river, is the direction. It's usually as this hiragana or katakana looks pretty similar. In the word, it's usually pronounced he, but if it's used as a particle, then it's pronounced e.川へ, to the river. Yes. And originally, that was basically with the old style calendar, you know, like the moon, the lunar calendar, that's called Kyureki. Kyu means like old, and Reki is like history. So old history or old like recordings, actually. So, you know, old records. The current calendar system is called Shinseki. Shin like 新しい, new. Ah, not Seki, Reki.You may have heard the reki from rekishi, history, like history as like a subject at school, in school. Yeah. So, currently, as I said, Tanabata is celebrated the 7th of July, but actually it was in like, according to the old style calendar, it was celebrated in the middle of August, because like the lunar calendar is usually like 1 month.You know, like one lunar month. So like, you know, like the amount of time like the moon takes, you know, for going around. Anyway. So like, it was celebrated in the middle of August, actually. And in the middle of August, in Japan, we usually, celebrate Obon. And Obon is, that's in the middle of July, middle of August, and that's called Hachigatsu Jujun. So Hachigatsu is August, and Chichigatsu is July, as I said. And Jujun basically means in the middle. So Ju means middle, and Jun is used basically for every 10 days of a month. So Jujun is like the middle 10 days, Jojun, this word here, the first 10 days, and Gejun are the last 10 days of a month.Yeah, so 8月10日, that's basically when Obon is celebrated, and the Obon basically is when the spirits and like the souls of your dead relatives come like back to Earth. And like for one evening, basically, you know, it's said that they come back and you can celebrate with them. And there is another thing, I think I want to make another video or another episode about that, but just to know, like it's, yeah.It's like All Hallows Eve, some a little, yeah, not really, but anyway, it's about the dead. And that's Obon, and basically, so like, Tanabata was celebrated basically during the time, because as I said, like, it's super hot right now in Japan, like, and also like in August, even more. So for frail people, especially old people, you know, like, they died more easily. So there is the connection basically, and then during Obon, we say that, あの世, and kono yo So Anoyo is the nether world, like the world of the dead, and Konoyo, the world of the living, the our world, are quite near. So basically, it's easier to go from one world to the other. Yeah. And as I said, the bamboo leaves have some kind of like, you know, like antibacterial effect. And in Japanese, that's called Sasa no ha ni wa koukin kouka ga arimasu. So sasa, as we said, is the bamboo stalk, and ha means leaf. And usually it's like if you have several leaves, it's called happa. And then koukin, so the ko means like to like block something off, and kin is bacteria. So koukin is like blocking off bacteria, is like antibacterial. If you have already learned little Japanese, you might have heard the word teiko. Teiko is like to resist the resistance, to start the force. Start the force is strong. Anyway, so teikosuru is like to, you know, to resist against something. And here you like you resist, basically have resistance against the bacteria. And kouka is like effect. Kouka ga arimasu. It has it's effective. It has an effect on that. Yeah. And so like what we do is we write our wishes onto these pieces of paper, and I brought some wishes along for you. And if you want, you can send me a wish either as a comment or if you want as an email. And but before like that, let's go through the sentences I have brought along. The first one is I want to become able to speak Japanese. So that's the direct translation. I want to be able to speak Japanese. Or yeah. So Nihongo, the Japanese language. As I said before, dekiru or dekimasu means to be able to do something, and the thing that you're able to do is marked with ga. Nihongo ga dekiru. So I'm able to Japanese. So there is not, it doesn't necessarily mean speak or understand, it's basically the whole thing of ability. And this you ni naritai. So you ni is something that you want to have this process of becoming able to. So the process is this yoni. Dekiru yoni means like, so right now you're not able to do it. And the goal is to become able to do it. So not being able to do it, being able to do it. Dekiru. And this process from not being able to do it to being able to do it happens with this yoni. Dekiru yoni. And then we have naritai. Naritai comes from narimasu, to become. And the tai form is I want to. So I want to become able to. I want to become Japanese able. You can translate as, yeah, I want to become being able to speak Japanese. Right, so that's Nihongo ga dekiru yō ni naritai. And then next one, okane ga hoshii. Hoshii means to wish for something. So, and again, we have ga here. Ga in this case marks the thing that you want. So ga hoshii always means there is something, a thing or a person, like a noun that you want. As I said, like dekiru, the yō ni naritai or dekiru yō ni usually needs a verb. Hoshii means a thing or a noun, at least. Okane ga hoshii, I want money. I can write it down. Okane hoshii. Of course, if you want to be more polite, you add the desu at the end. Okane ga hoshii desu. Because hoshii is actually not a verb, so like to wish for, but it's actually an adjective, like an e adjective. And as I said before, what was it? What's that? I forgot. Something where I said like, the kata. What was it? I forgot. Takakatta. Yeah, takakatta. Exactly. So it comes from takai, and the desu is just here for the politeness. Takai, takakatta is an e adjective, and it just adds desu for politeness. So the same thing happens here with the hoshii. Hoshii is an adjective, and by adding desu makes you sound more polite. Okane ga hoshii desu. I want money. Or, atarashii kuruma ga hoshii desu. Instead, only hoshii. Atarashii new kuruma, car. Ga hoshii, I want. Atarashii kuruma ga hoshii. I want a new car. And one more.
お母さんは元気になってほしい。
Again, the 欲しい。However, the thing is, I want, but now, that's actually an exception. なって comes from なります to become. And the 定 form plus 欲しい is, I want this to happen. But that's like the only way that you use 欲しい with a verb. Usually, as I said, like が欲しい, and the thing with, in front of が needs to be a noun. But if you have the 定 form, then you basically connect two verbs. 定 formis basically always a verb. So, なってほしい, I want to become. But, it's not about myself. て form plus ほしい means I want something to happen. Not I want to become, but I want something to happen. I want somebody to do something. So, お母さんは元気になってほしい. So, let's just take a look at the お母さんは元気になって. As I said, なって comes from なります, to become. 元気healthy, energetic. So I want what? お母さん, my mom. お母さんは元気になります. My mom becomes healthy. お母さんは元気になってほしい. I want my mom to become healthy. Maybe she's suffering some kind of illness or whatever. I want her to become healthy. お母さんは元気になってほしい. And this, again, if you want to be more polite. You can write ほしい only in hiragana, or you can also write it with this.Kanji here. Yes. Okay. So that was like half an hour about all kinds of things in Japanese, in regards to Tanabata, the festival. And, yeah, let's do some ad for me, some advertisement. Because if you don't know yet, I have so far published one book and it's called Reading Japanese for Beginners. If you're able to read hiragana and katakana and maybe have already, done super easy grammar,then this is the perfect book for you. It's really called Reading Japanese for Beginners, so it's really for absolute beginners. If you're able to write hiragana and katakana, you've learned some words, and you don't really know much about grammar yet, no problem, everything is explained there. In the beginning, there is like an overview of all of like all the particles, like these super important small like syllables that tell youthe meaning or like the part of the sentence, what it actually is. It's the object, the subject, the place, the means or whatever. And so that's basically part of what's explained in the beginning. You learn about verbs, you learn about subject and object and all these things. And then there is a small overview about important polite words, like saying morning and these things. And then there are two stories.Two easy stories. The first story is like the easiest story, like for really for like complete beginners. And the second story is basically based on the knowledge that you've gained during the first story. And basically the thing is like every single page of the story has explanations for every single sentence. So I explain the meaning, not only the meaning, but also like the grammar used in this sentence, the vocabulary there, and why it's the way it is.And then you have like a vocabulary list for every single page, so you don't have like to check, I don't know, like at the end of the book, you just have to go to the next page and check the vocabulary if there is a vocabulary you don't know yet. And of course, there is a translation, so you can also go to the translation directly. Depending on your level, I would first maybe go read through the translation to like know the meaning, then go through the vocabulary list.And take notes if you want, you know, to make your own vocabulary list, because what you write by yourself on your hand, it makes it easier for you to like stay in your brain. And then go through the text, like the one page each, and go along with the explanations. And then listen to it. There is an audio file which you can download. The link is in the book directly. And then you can listen to it. Listen and read at the same time. That's really, really important. And...also try to repeat. And right now, if you buy the book, it also includes one video lesson with me. So like I record it. So when I usually use this book to teach Japanese, you know, like I read one sentence and explain it. And I also want people to repeat. So like I read a portion of the sentence and then give you like enough time to repeat it, to train your mouth, as I said,to be able to make these sounds. That's really, really important to repeat it with your own, you know, with your own mouth, not just only listening, not only passive, but also doing active speaking. So before you're able to like make your own sentences by thinking and everything, first train your mouth to be able to say it. And by listening and saying it, it comes more automatically to you to make your own sentences, to come up with your own sentences, right? Yeah, and then you have also like questions for every single story. And they're like nice pictures, because I feel like if there are no pictures, you know, like, especially for beginners, it's, if you have a picture, it's easier for you to like understand what's going on there. And the pictures are drawn by a Japanese artist. So like, this is like really like, it's not like, so the person who drew these pictures really like gave all their thought and things. And so that's really for you like to immerse yourself into like being in Japan. You really feel like you're in Japan. Like the first story is about the high school student, and the second story is about a foreigner going to Japan on the first trip. Yeah, so that's that. And I would really encourage you to get this book and get going with your studying Japanese. No matter if you're a complete beginner or if you've already maybe studied for some Japanese. I recently had somebody here, who've been learning Japanese for quite some time, but that was like several years ago. So they got the book and we went through the story, and they just used it like as a refresher of like everything they learned, and like, oh, we suddenly understand that. And it's like, you know, it's really important to like have something that is really on your level. Usually if you get like a book for children or something, then, you know, it's for Japanese people. Even though it's for kids, it's still for Japanese people and not for somebody who learns the language. So also like for kids, the language is a little different, you know, like the boo 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 and blah blah blah. If you're like a baby or something, that's maybe not like suitable for an adult to speak the way that way, right? Yeah. So that's that. You can buy it on Amazon. Just search for Reading Japanese for Beginners. The author is myself, Manuela Ituloidl, Manu Sensei. So you can find it anywhere. You can find it in the US, in the UK, in Canada, in Australia, in Europe, you know, every like Amazon marketplace, basically. And I'm currently working on the next book, which is called Japanese for Beginners. I think it takes, you know, like we are basically finished with like the book itself, but now we have to do like all the layout and things, and you know, like it takes still some more time. I hope I can finish it this year. And if you want to work together with me some more, then you can also get one-on-one lessons with me. Or if you have any other questions, I'm also doing group lessons, but I still have to like, you know, set everything up. So send me an email at manu@japanesewithmanu.com. Also, if you want this piece of paper, like this PDF file I have here, just sign up for my newsletter. And every time I publish a new episode, everybody who is signed up for my newsletter will get this PDF file automatically, so you don't have to take notes. It just can like print this PDF file out and maybe take some notes additionally, because you know you have the Japanese words here, but I did not add the English words, because according to my experience, it's just listening to something without being actively doing something is not really effective. So if you have this piece of paper, this PDF file here, and then you take notes with your hand, you know, like you are actively doing something with your body, makes your brain more active, and an active brain memorizes things more easily. So that's my suggestion for working with my episodes or my you know, I don't, no matter if you watch the YouTube video or listen to the podcast file. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you learned a lot. See you soon. Yours, Manu from Japanese with Manu. Matane, and happy Tanabata if you celebrate it. Bye bye.